John to start out with this morning. John chapter number 10. And we give you a few other scriptures in the book of Luke and then also in the book of Matthew. And you pray for us this morning. Lord, help us as we get into the message this morning, that God will just help us. Again, I say thank you for your prayers this week, how God's blessed us and God stirred our heart and helped us this week. And it's been good to be able just to get aside. And I remember over there in the scriptures where Jesus looked at his disciples and said, come aside and rest a while. And that's what we was kind of able to do this week, get fed. And I sure do thank the Lord for that. And it's been a long time since we've been able to really do that. And my, how God manifested himself, blessed us down there. And if you get a chance, you can go on the website down our gateway, jubilee.org, I believe it is, .com, onebeast.com. And if you want to see some of the messages, listen to some of the messages, some of the services, it'd be a great blessing, a great help to you. I promise you that. But it sure was good. We thank the Lord for that. Thursday, I've never seen Brother Davey that way. I looked up there one time, man, he took a running fit. Next thing I know, he's all the way around the side of the church. And it was something else to see. And just the Lord blessing him and moving and blessing in the services. And we sure do thank him. But I say that to say this. I just want to thank you for being able to go down there. Amen. And I just want to say I love my church. Because every time I get down there and I sit in there and it'd get good, I just think about the church. Amen. And I want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. And we've had you on our heart all week, been praying for you all week. And even though I was down there, I still had you on my heart and on my mind. So I just want to stop just a minute and tell you thank you. I love you and I appreciate you, church. Okay? Just wanted to do that. John chapter number 10, stand with us if you will for the reading of God's word this morning. We'll read two verses in this scripture, and then we're going to go over into the book of Luke, chapter number 15, and then we'll also go to Matthew, chapter number 18 there, and we'll look a couple of scriptures there. Well, God just laid this on my heart, coming back up the road there yesterday, or day before yesterday, I guess it was, and really want to just think about a shepherd, and I noticed in the scripture that it's talking about the good shepherd, and I believe that this scripture in John chapter 10 and verse number 11 and then verse 14 refers back to Matthew chapter 18 and Luke chapter 15 as well. We can kind of run a reference back there, and that's what we're going to do this morning, and we'll give you a couple things. The Bible says in verse number 11 here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I say glory to God for that. Amen. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I'm glad he knows me today. Amen. What a blessing. All right, turn with me to the book of Matthew, first of all. Hold your finger back there. We may go back there. I kind of wanted to use that as a springboard, if you will, but we will be dwelling mainly in Matthew 18 and Luke chapter 15. But Matthew 18 and verse number 12, we find the account, if you will, of where he's talking about the sheep and how that a man would have 100 sheep, one be lost, and he'd leave the 99 and go and find the other one. We'll talk a little bit about that here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 12, find your place, say amen. Amen. All right, the Bible says here, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. All right, hold your finger there, and let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. And we'll read a few verses of scripture there, and we'll try to just take our text in these two chapters here, try to tie these two together. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1. I hear you turning. I'll give you another minute or two to turn there. We just turned into some scripture there this week, and there's a fellow there in front of us. He's kind of a cut up, I guess you'd say, tell a lot of jokes, and one of them called out, I believe it was the book of John, I believe it was. He turned around, looked at me and said, that's in the New Testament. I said, thank you, brother. So Luke's in the New Testament if you're looking for it, okay? Luke chapter number 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, then drew near unto him all of the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. We ought to take a loud shout right there.
Amen.
Amen. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he left it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just person which need no repentance. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering. Thank you, Lord, for just being so good to us, loving us so much. Lord, I know this morning I'm nothing. Father, if there's anything done, it's got to be done by thee. Lord, I know, God, today my inability. And Lord, I know my unworthiness this morning. God, I'm begging you, Father, you'd come this way. Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, you'd help us this morning as we dig into thy word. Lord, that you'd illuminate it to us. Let us see everything, Lord, out of it that we need. Lord, I pray. Oh, God, just do that. It needs to be done today. Bind my tongue, Lord, oh God, and speak the words that needs to be heard here today. Oh, I'm begging you, Father, for fresh oil and fresh unction this morning to be able to preach the way you'd see fit. Yeah, Lord, bind me, Lord, I pray. Hide me behind the old rugged cross that they'd never see me, oh God, but they'd see you high lifted up, Father, I pray. Now, God, give me clarity of speech, clarity of mind. Whatever's accomplished, Father, we'll give you praise. That you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seen. I want to try to tie these two scriptures together, and I don't normally go to separate places like this and read a lot of scriptures, but I feel like the Lord has to tie these together and try to look at them together. And I wanted to start back there in John chapter number 10, just so you could get your mind around the thought that Jesus is the good shepherd, okay? That John chapter 10 there, if you notice in that scripture, it's red letters there. If you've got a red letter edition Bible there, and Jesus is stating his place, if you will, and saying, I am the good shepherd. And number one, he says, I give my life for the sheep. I'm glad he gave his life for me. Amen. I'm glad this morning that he saved me. Amen. I'm glad this morning I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he died for me on the cross. And that day that I accepted him, amen, that blood was placed upon my heart. And I thank God for that. And then he said also in that 14th verse there, he says there, I am the good shepherd. And he says there, he says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. Well, I'm glad he knows me today. Amen. Can I say to you this morning, if you have been born again, you're saved this morning, then there's no doubt in your mind, should be no doubt at all, that Jesus knows you. Amen. And that you know Jesus. Amen. There's a communication there. And oh, I thank God for that. I don't know about you, but when I read over there in John chapter 10, that just makes me want to take a lap. That wants me to, I just want to shout over it. Amen. You say, preacher, why is that? Because I'm an old wretched sinner, don't deserve nothing but hell. But Jesus would even look my way, let alone save me. Amen. That ought to put a shout in the backslid Baptist. Amen. It's to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I thank God for that. And if we left there in John chapter 10 there, we could all be shouting right there. We could all say glory to God for that, for who he is. And I say thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. But I want to go back over here where the Lord kind of laid upon our hearts in Matthew and the book of Luke as well there, and think about the shepherds shown in this scripture. And I want to preach this morning on a thought about a searching shepherd. A searching shepherd. We find there in John chapter 10, he's a little bit different than he is in Luke and the book of Mark here, in the book of Matthew here. We find that he's totally different. Why, preacher? Because the Bible says there in John chapter 10 that he giveth his life for the sheep, and that he's known of them and they know him. So he's talking about
I guess you'd say, who he is to them. But when we look here in the book of Matthew chapter number 18, and then we look in Luke chapter number 15, we find the scripture here where he is searching. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he searched for me. Amen. I'm glad I know the day that Jesus came searching for me. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Amen. I'm glad this morning he came searching for me one day. Amen. I look in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke here, these two accounts of this parable, if you will, as we begin to look here. And I read a lot of writers here. I've done a lot of reading on it, a lot of commentaries. And some says this is the same account there, that it's the same thing. I read another commentary that said it was two different things. It wasn't relating there together. I'm going to be honest with you. I agree with the latter. As I began to look at this, and I've always looked at it myself, that it is talking about the same thing. But as I began to look at it, I began to see that it's talking about two different searchings, if you will. There's two different places here that Jesus is searching. I want to look there, first of all, in the book of Luke, chapter number 15 there. The Bible says here, notice with me in verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Notice those two words there, lose and lost. Notice that. And hold your finger there. Let's turn back to the book of Matthew, if you will, just for a second. We'll read this. Chapter number 18, verse number 12. The Bible says here, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Did you notice that? And one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? I began to notice the difference here. I began to see two different words, and I began to look up. And if you do like I do a lot of times when I'm studying, I like to do word searches. I look in there and I try to find out the definition, and I'll grab my Strong's Concordance there and I begin to look and see the different words there that are used in the Greek and the Hebrew and everything as we study the Bible. Well, I guess what I found out this morning, I found out when I began to look at these two words, they were two totally different words. As I began to look at astray there in the book of Matthew, let me give you the definition here. It comes from a Hebrew word that is plano, is the way I'm going to put it. That's probably not right, but I can't speak Greek or Hebrew, so that'll be as close as old country English can get, okay? We'll just say it's that. But the definition is this. It means to roam or to go astray, to deceive, to seduce, or wander, or be out of the way. It kind of sounds to me like, if you will, a Christian that might be gone astray. Would you agree with me or say amen? Somebody that was in the fold at one time, but now they've kind of got backslidden and they've kind of got away from God. Amen. I know a bunch of those folks. Amen. Right there. Amen. We know several of those. And I believe he's talking about these here in this scripture in the book of Matthew. Now, we'll go somewhere with this here in just a minute. We'll go back to this. But I want you to notice, if you will, in Luke there, the word that is used in the book of Luke is the word lose or lost. Well, let me give you a good Hebrew word in this. It's a Hebrew word. I ain't about to try to pronounce it. It starts with an A, okay? You get your Strong's Concordance, look it up, and you go home, okay? But the definition is this: to destroy fully. Think about that. Literally or figuratively, to destroy or die or lose, mar or perish. Boy, that sounds to me like two totally different words. I began to look at this, and God began to kind of burden my heart with this, and I thought, Lord, as we look at this, these definitely are not the two same accounts. When you're talking about somebody that's going astray, and you're talking about somebody that's just getting out of the way a little bit, and then you come over here in the book of Luke, and you see this word lose, and it totally means to die, or to perish, or to mar there, totally done away with, if you will. That's two totally different things, amen. Would you agree or say amen? I believe these are two totally different things there. And as I look at this, I think in my mind, the one there in the book of Luke chapter 15 there, I think, oh, what a sad place to be in. Oh, what a sad place. I believe Luke chapter number 15 is speaking of those that are lost, okay? It's speaking of those that are not born again. It's speaking of those that are dead in their trespasses and sin. And that's the ones that it's talking about in the book of Luke. Everybody agree with me? Say amen. You still with me? Okay. Excuse me. As we're looking at these two scriptures here together, I brought these together and I thought about this. You're looking at one that's just gone astray. You're looking at one that's lost completely and undone without God. But there's a common denominator here that we need to look at this morning, and that's what we want to kind of focus on this morning, is this: a searching Savior. A searching Shepherd. A searching Savior. A searching Shepherd. You say, preacher, you're using two different words. I did for a reason. Because when he finds you, he's going to save you. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that. You can't separate him. Amen. He's still right there in the middle. Amen. You can't separate them two things. You've got to look at him as a shepherd, and you've got to look at him as the Savior. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. Thank God for that. Jump with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Chapter number 18 there. Matthew chapter number 18, and let's look at a few things. I'm going to give you four things, and I'm going to be quick this morning. I'm going to give you four things about this searching shepherd. Number one, let's look at his searching there. The Bible says in verse number 12 there, he says, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray?" Did you notice there, if you will, the searching of the shepherd? You say, preacher, what do you say? Well, I want to say number one about the searching is how far he'll go. Amen. The Bible says here in the scriptures that he went plumb into the mountains. That's another reason, as I look at this scripture, I think in my mind, and I believe it's two separate things here, is that if you notice there, he's leaving the fold there where he lives. He's leaving his home, and he's going into the mountains to try to find that sheep that has gone astray. And then as he leaves there, the Bible says there that he goes way up into the mountains. Can I say to you this morning, there's no distance too far that God won't go to find you. Amen. There's no distance too far that the shepherd will not go to find you. Amen. Oh, I remember where I was at. You say, preacher, where was you at? You got saved. I was in church. That's a pretty good place to get saved. Somebody say amen. I guarantee you, probably 75-80% of us in here this morning was saved in church. Amen. That's a pretty good place to get saved. I sat in the Hicks' Chapel there about where Brother Marshall and Brother Jim sat, somewhere in there, and boy, he come by my way. He's a searching for me, and he found me. Amen. So you might say, well, preacher, that's not too far away. He didn't have to go too far to get you. Hey, listen, I'm still no wretched sinner. Amen. Just like that man on death row, I'm still a wretched sinner. Amen. Well, listen, there's a lot of people come over in other foreign countries. That ain't too far. Amen. We was talking about this morning about some of those that is missionaries in China. And I was reading about some of them in Korea. I was talking to some of them this week that's down there in Uganda. And some of them in all these other places in Africa. Boy, you see, preacher, that's a long way to go. Well, it ain't too far for God. Amen. It ain't too far for that searching Savior. Amen. And that searching shepherd, amen, he'll search you out, amen. I'm telling you, they ain't too far to go, amen, to find you. Notice with me in this scripture, in Luke chapter number 18, jump there with me. We'll be jumping back and forth in these scriptures. Notice verse number 4. The Bible says here, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Notice where he's at here. The Bible says he's in the wilderness. And he says he leaves the sheep there in the wilderness and goes, looks for that one. That tells me he's right in amongst them. Amen. That tells me he's right in amongst them. Amen. He's right in the wilderness there. I'm glad to say he's everywhere. Amen. I'm glad he's everywhere this morning. Amen. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Amen. He's everywhere. Amen. He's in the wilderness. He's in the towns. He's in the church. He's everywhere. You can't get away from him. Amen. You can't get away from him. So I noticed, number one, there's not too far for him to go to search for you. But can I say this? Wherever you go, he's there. And he's searching for you. Can you remember the day you got saved? Can you remember where you were at? Can you remember when Jesus came by your way? Well, I can. We can all need to stop this for a minute and say, thank you, Lord, for where you came by my way and got me. Amen. Search for me and found me. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. The searching of the Savior. The searching of the Shepherd. Oh, listen. There's no place too far. There's no person too bad. Listen, there's no person too good. Amen. He searches for everyone. Amen. He's going out there searching for that one. By the way, where's that one? Amen. Where's that one sheep? Amen. Whether you believe it or not, you was that one. Amen. That he left the others and came searching for you. Now listen, don't think for 1 minute he didn't care for them other sheep. Don't think for 1 minute he wasn't taking care of them. He left them with the porter. Amen. You study over there in the book of John, chapter number 10, and he talks about the porter there. He talks about how that whenever they got there, he talks about the door of the sheep, and no man enters in but the shepherd. But he leaves the porter there at the door. Amen. Oh, I'm glad this morning for the porter. You say, preacher, what's the porter? That's the Holy Ghost. He ain't left you alone. Amen. Oh, he left us alone. Amen. Oh, yes, he's searching out there for that one. He's looking for that one, but he sure ain't left us. Amen. He's left us to the porter today, and I'm glad he has. Amen. The searching of the shepherd. Let me give you number two quickly here. Not only the searching of the shepherd, but I like the finding of the shepherd. Amen. Notice with me in the scripture back in the book of Matthew there. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 18, verse number 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. I find the finding. And the Bible says here, and if so be that he find it. Can I say to you, he's going to find it? Because he knows where it's at. There ain't no doubt about it. Amen. Listen, there ain't no doubt in that statement right there. He will find you. You can't go too far. Amen. Listen. The Bible talks about here in the book of Matthew, we've done established this, that he's talking about those Christians that have gone astray. He's talking about those that are born again and yet they have turned from the way and went out. Can I say to you, he will find them. Amen. He will bring them back one way or the other. Amen. I've been there, okay? I've been in that place. And there ain't nowhere you can go that you can get away from him. I promise you that. Ain't nowhere you can run. Ain't nowhere you can hide. He will find you. Amen. Listen, I believe the certainty of this finding is that he will find you. There's no doubt in this. You can't run. Child of God, you listen to me this morning. If you're away from God, you listen, he's going to find you. Amen. Wherever you're at, he's going to find you. Amen. You may be listening on even on the live feed. He's going to find you. Amen. Well, listen, you cannot get away from him. Amen. He will find you because he is searching for you. But I don't know about you, but if he's searching for me, that just means he loves me. Amen. We look at this thing as a bad thing. As, oh, Lord, he's going to find me. He's going to find me. Listen, it's a blessing to know he's searching for us. Amen. Thank God. It's a blessing to know that when I'm out there, he's still searching for me. Amen. We ought to say glory to God for that. Amen. We ought to say thank God. The finding there. Notice with me in the book of Luke. Back over to the book of Luke. We'll flip back. Excuse me. The Bible says here in the book of Luke, chapter number 15 and verse number 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I look at this, and I'm going to be honest with you right here. I'm going to give you just a little of my thoughts right here, okay? I look at these two scriptures, and I think in my mind, he has traveled a long distance to find this sheep. He has searched for however long, could be days, could be weeks, he searched for this sheep that has gone astray or that is lost there. But yet when he finds that sheep, he does not go to that sheep and rebuke that sheep or whip that sheep or do harm to that sheep. What's the Bible say right here? He picks it up and lays it on his shoulders and carries it back to the fold. I don't know about you, but I seen that this morning. I like to have myself fit. I said, glory to God that he takes me and carries me back. Listen, don't you know that sheep's tired? That sheep's been wandering astray. They ain't no telling what that sheep's been into. They ain't no telling how many pitfalls it's fell in. It ain't no telling how many briar thickets it's been through. He may even have to take a little oil and take it out of that shepherd's crib there and bind up its wounds a little bit and care for it, feed it a little bit, give it a little bit of water, and then put it on his shoulders. Oh, but thank God he loves it, amen? And he throws it on his shoulders, and the finding there is so sweet that he'll put it on his shoulders, and he'll carry it back to the fold where it's at. So listen, when Jesus finds you, when the shepherd finds you, oh, listen, don't think they're going to be rebuked there. Oh, yes, you'll be sorry. You'll have to repent. But I'll guarantee you, he'll love you back into the fold. Amen. He'll carry you back into the fold because he loves you and cares for you. Amen. Well, I seen that. I thought to myself, I thought, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that he's going to carry us back into the fold. Amen. Thank God. Now, I believe both these. I realize Matthew's talking about those that are gone astray. And if you will, that's been in the fold but gone astray. And I realize Luke's talking about those that are lost. But I believe he does them both the same way. Amen. I believe those that are lost, he'll sure carry you in. I've seen folk that get saved and they've run as far as they can run. They're ready just to give up. And yet Jesus will come by. And when God will get a hold of their heart, they'll even have a glow on their face. Amen. You know what that is? That's a shepherd caring for them, carrying them back to the fold, carrying them into the fold there. But he'll do the same thing for those that's backslidden, those that's got away from God. He'll go to them and he'll carry them back and put them back into the fold. Amen. I like it when he finds us. Amen. I like it when he comes seeking for us and searching for us. But I like it even better when he finds me. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. Now notice with me, not only the searching of the shepherd, not only the finding of the shepherd, but I thought about the rejoicing of the shepherd. Have you ever thought about this? Let me ask you a question right here. What would cause Jesus to be happy? Think about that just for a minute. We're all the time, can I back up right here just for a minute? We're all the time saying, what's in it for me? I think a lot of times, there's a preacher down there this week and started preaching, and that's one of the points he brought out, and I thought, boy, that's exactly right. It seems like the world we live in today and the churches we live in today, it's all about what's in it for me. Amen. What's in it for me? Well, I got to have this. I want this. Or I want that. What's in it for me? Can I go ahead and just help us right here? Listen to me closely. Church ain't about you. Amen. Sunday morning service ain't about you. Amen. Sunday night service ain't about you. And Wednesday night service, revival, jubilee, whatever you want to call it, it ain't about you. Amen. But it's about him. Amen. It's about worshiping him. Amen. It ain't about what I can get out of it. I'll promise you this. If you come and you think in your mind, what can I get out of it? You ain't going to get nothing out of it. But if you'll come saying, Lord, I just want to worship you, that this is all about you, and if you'll come with a thought of, Lord, just let me praise you, just let me glorify you, you know what'll happen? You'll leave having more than you did when you got here, amen. You'll leave with a light wagon load that your wheels will be a-wobbling, amen. Your cup will be a-running over. Why, preacher? Because you've praised and worshiped the shepherd, amen, that searching shepherd that's come searching for you, amen. Oh, listen, I thought about what would cause Jesus to be happy. What would make this shepherd happy? Oh, I believe, let me think about this just for me as we look here. What would make this shepherd happy? Well, if somebody come by and give him some food, that'd make him happy. I don't think so. I don't think so. Evidently, he wasn't Baptist, okay? Because us Baptists, we'll eat to drop a hat to eat. Somebody say amen. It ain't about the food. Oh, listen, it'd be good. Boy, he'd be happy if somebody had come by and dropped some money in his lap. Oh no, that ain't what makes him happy. That ain't what causes him to rejoice. You know what causes him to rejoice? When he finds that lost sheep. Amen. When he goes out there and finds that one that's astray, that one that's been wandering out in the wilderness, that one that's tired and weary and beat up, that one that's out there that's lost and dying in ruin and destruction, and that's where they're at, and he's able to go out and bring that one into the fold. That's what the rejoicing, amen. That's what the shepherd rejoices about, amen. And that's what you and I need to rejoice about. We rejoice about all these other things. Listen, I'm not saying you've got to be sad all the time, but I will say this. We need to rejoice more over sinners, amen, that get saved by the grace of God, or over those that are backslid that would come in and get right with God, than we would anything else. Amen. We ought to rejoice over that. We ought to say glory to God for that. Amen. Amen. I like it when the shepherd finds us, but boy, I like it when the shepherd rejoices too. Amen. Notice with me in that scripture, verse number... Let's look at Matthew chapter number 18 back, if you will. And the Bible says here in verse number 13, "And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than the 99 which went not astray." I mean, he rejoiced. That word rejoices there, it's bigger than just being happy. Amen. It's rejoicing. Amen. That means shouting. That means glorified. That means just can't stand it. Amen. Get a good case of the can't help it. Amen. That's what rejoicing's all about. We'll look back there in Matthew, in the book of Luke, chapter number 15. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 15, verse number 6, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Oh, listen. He said, rejoice. Rejoice with me. Have you ever been to the place where you've got something that's happened in your life, and you're rejoicing so much about it, you just got to have somebody to help you rejoice? Huh? You ever been there? Huh? I like it when them little babies are born. And most of the time when them little babies are born, the only one that's around is mom and daddy, right? You grandma and grandpa's no better than that. Huh? Grandma and grandpa on both sides got to be there. Aunts and uncles and cousins and everything else got to be there. Amen. They got to swarm around that little one. Amen. You know what's happening right there? There's some rejoicing going on. That little baby's been born in. Amen. There's some rejoicing going on. Amen. Should that not be the way we are when somebody gets saved or somebody comes back, somebody's been backslidden, comes back into the fold? Oh, we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be shouting. We ought to be saying, "Thank you, Lord." Amen. Because the shepherd is. Amen. The shepherd's rejoicing. Amen. The shepherd's rejoicing so much he can't rejoice enough himself. So he goes to call somebody else to help him rejoice. Amen. All his friends and family. You know who that is? I believe that's me and you. Amen. Amen. He lets us in on that rejoicing a little bit. Amen. He lets us in on that. We ought to rejoice over those that come back into the fold. Amen. I like that rejoicing. Amen. By the way, they're going to be rejoicing one of these days. You ain't seen nothing yet, amen. We can't rejoice so much down here. Why, preacher? Because we just got this old fleshly body we live in, amen. But when we get that glorified body in heaven, son, there's going to be some rejoicing going on, amen. You're living in the quietest world that you'll ever live in, amen. You're living in the quietest place that you'll ever live in. Oh, listen, we shouted her out this week down there, and Brother Davey made this statement. He said, "If this makes you nervous, you better do some checking up." Amen. It made me nervous before I got saved. Amen. I'd get nervous. I remember years ago, Brother Doug could testify to this. We was growing up there at Hicks' Chapel, and I can remember Bonnie Wilson. Boy, she'd get to shouting, and she shouted so much one time, she plumb passed out, amen. And they put some smelling salts under her nose. She come back to just shouting again, amen. I mean, they're shouting all over the place. And it made me nervous at that time. I'm going to be honest. When she'd shout, I'd kind of look, you know, like that scared me to death. But now to Jesus, save my soul. Hey, I want to jump in the midst of it. Amen. It don't make me nervous. Amen. If it makes you nervous, you're going to be out of place in heaven. Amen. Because when we get to heaven, he's going to be rejoicing. He's going to be shouting. They're going to be praising. I can promise you that. Amen. Why, preacher? Because we need to worship him. Amen. And when we get rid of this old fleshly body, we'll be able to worship him. Amen. We'll be able to. Notice with me in the scriptures the rejoicing there. And I'll give you number four and we'll close with this. I thought about the reach of the shepherd. Not only do we find there the searching, we find the finding, we find the rejoicing, but I thought about the reach of the shepherd. Think about it for just a minute. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, look with me back in the book of Matthew again, chapter number 18. The last verse there that we read, verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Did you see how far that reached? In heaven. Can I say that again? In heaven. Amen. Look with me in Luke chapter number 15. What's the Bible say? Luke chapter number 15, verse number 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Did you see how far that reached? In heaven. Oh, it ain't just down here, amen. Can I help us right here? If in this life only this is all we have, we're men most miserable. I know he's talking about Christ, okay? He said, if in this life we have hope in Christ only, we're of all men most miserable. I understand that. But I'll say again, I'll go a little farther than that and say, if this is all we got, we're in a miserable shape. Right. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in this life forever. Amen. That'd be a sad time if somebody looked at you and said, you're going to have eternal life, but you're going to have to live in this world just like it is. I'd say, oh, Lord, help us. Amen. But we're going to a place, amen. We're going to a place where there ain't going to be no sin, ain't going to be no sickness, ain't going to be no sorrow, ain't going to be none of that, amen. We're going to a place of bliss, amen. And in order to get there, we're going to get a glorified body, amen. Oh, listen, this thing of the shepherd searching for one of them, it even, the rejoicing even goes plumb into heaven, amen. It reaches plumb over there, amen. I notice in the scriptures there, these places in scripture where he says there's rejoicing in heaven. We like to say this, that that Jesus is rejoicing up there. And I believe that. I believe he's rejoicing all over heaven over one sinner that repents. Amen. I believe he's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes back, that's been astray. One of those that have backslid and comes back. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad he searches. Amen. Oh, thank God. I look at there in verse number 7 in the book of Luke chapter 15, and the Bible says this, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Notice the word shall. Shall be. Ain't no doubt about it. Ain't no doubt about it. What causes rejoicing in heaven? What can we do down here that would recall, that would cause joy, rejoicing in heaven? Someone gets saved. The shepherd finds someone, some lost sheep, bring them back into the fold. Find somebody that's been astray, bring them back into the fold. That's when the rejoicing starts, amen. Church, I believe that rejoicing, we should be rejoicing over those sheep that comes back. Now, listen to me closely. I believe we can pattern our lives after this shepherd. This shepherd, he's the good shepherd. I believe it's the same shepherd in all three verses that I read to you, all three passages there that I read to you. I believe it's the same. But I believe that if we are Christians like we should be, you know what we should be doing? We should be searching. We should be going. There should be no, listen, no distance too far for us to go. There should be no effort too much for us to go. There should be nothing that's too big for us to go and find that lost sheep that's out there. I know every one of you have looked at me and told me, said, we've got lost loved ones we'd sure love to see get saved. We've got family members, friends that we'd love to see get saved. That's that, those lost ones there. That's those sheep that are wandering out there in the wilderness. And you and I need to go out there and reach them and search for them. Amen. We've got to take Jesus with us and search for them. I preached on Tuesday morning about crossing over with precious cargo. We've got the cargo that they need. We've got Jesus in our heart. And we need to cross over that sea, go through that storm to get to the other side, to take Jesus to them. I believe that's what we should do. I want to stop just for a second before I close right here and just say, thank God for the searching shepherd. Amen. That when I know, when I get out there and get in places I shouldn't get to, I know he'll come searching for me. He'll come looking for us. Amen. Oh, and the good news is, he's right there with me. Amen. He's right there beside of me. Amen. And he'll bring me back, carry me back into the fold. Amen. Let's stand to your feet this morning.